this is. I know it sounds absurd. Please tell me who I am. A Stranger Things fanfic, written by Here Jess Roar, and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson. With additional tags for Chrissy Cunningham Lives, Getting Together, First Kiss. Robin and Nancy have a vested interest in this weird feral dude's love life now. A trauma bond will do that to you. Chrissy survives, but she's done doing that. She's ready to thrive. He's not exactly surprised when someone drops down heavily next to him at the picnic table. Who it is exactly that sits next to him sure isn't normal, though. But his usual company is late, and he turns to look at the interloper irritably. Eddie raises his eyebrows at her. Robin raises an eyebrow right back. He likes Robin. She's snarky and doesn't put up with Steve's shit. And by that measuring stick, she sure as hell doesn't put up with Eddie's either. What can he say? He likes people who can see through him. Robin rolls her head side to side and pops her neck, grinning at him with too many teeth. She's also a little batshit, but Eddie likes that too. Expecting someone else? She asks, full well knowing the answer. Because it isn't exactly a secret that Chrissy Cunningham disappears after school between the final bell and the beginning of cheer practice. It's not a secret, and yet very few people know where she goes. Robin knows. The picnic table wobbles under even more extra weight, and Eddie wants to roll his eyes. He settles for staring out into the woods and refusing to acknowledge Nancy Wheeler perching on the tabletop next to his arm. And Nancy knows, too. Her perfectly tied keds dangle in the air as she swings her feet. Too casual. Munson, she says. And Eddie hates how he can tell that she's grinning a big Cheshire Cat grin. Chrissy asked if we could give you a message. These two exist to torment him. He's very sure of it. You go through one son of a bitch of a quest together through some sort of alternate hell world and fight a couple demons, and they think they have a right to dig their claws into your life forever. It would have made for one hell of a campaign, if he were so inclined to relive it by writing it down. He isn't. The slack expression on Chrissy's face when her eyes had rolled white, the complete and utter nothing of her while he tried to get through to wherever she had gone, the horrible fear twisting her features when she came back to herself. Yeah. Eddie would just as soon forget. Especially since he knows exactly how her story could have ended. Like Fred. Like Patrick. Twisted and broken and gone. But Chrissy is alive. She's alive, and she has, for some reason, decided along the same lines that Robin and Nancy have, that because the weird drug-dealing metal had happened to be there when they all got slam-bammed into the damn netherworld, that makes Eddie Munson her friend. You know, Robin says, laughter in her voice, if I was trying to keep it a secret, I had a crush on a girl. Eddie snorts and side-eyes her. Robin presses on intrepidly. I wouldn't look so patty about her ditching our date spot. Eddie shifts and crosses his arms over his chest. Nancy swats at Robin behind him and then pokes him in the shoulder. The message is that she's going to wrap up cheer early if she can because she had to talk to Mr. Bryant about extra credit, and that's why she isn't here. She seemed really disappointed, too. Robin says, knocking her Converse into his boot. Almost like she was missing out on something. Nancy lets go of where she's yoinked Robin's collar backward in reprimand, and gives him a beatific smile. She said she would understand if he didn't want to wait for her, though. That's all. Robin lurches gracelessly to her feet as Nancy slides off the table primly, straightening her skirt and reaching out to grab Robin by the sleeve like a wayward dog's leash, like she can't be trusted to leave her new chew toy alone. She leads the way out of his little clearing, Robin making horrible goo-goo eyes and kissy faces at him the whole time behind Nancy's back. "You're both obnoxious busybodies, you know that?" he calls after them. Robin cackles, shoots him a lazy salute and a pair of finger guns, and lets Nancy pretend she doesn't see it. Eddie tells himself he won't wait. He doesn't wait, and he doesn't wait on other people, and he definitely doesn't wait on other people who are pretty perfect cheerleaders, with citrusy perfume that makes his head spin when she gets close enough to read his notebook and tell him that she likes his lyrics, but maybe the imagery would be stronger if it said jagged, splintered shards of soul instead of pieces. But you don't have to listen to me, Eddie. I don't know what I'm talking about anyway, and fuck. He's so far up shit creek without a paddle, it's not even funny. Eddie groans and grips at the roots of his hair as he tips forward in embarrassment. It's such a cliche. Eddie hates cliches. He's the weird dude, the freak, the drug-dealing, devil-worshipping. Yeah, sure, why not? Let him believe it. Dungeon Master Outcast of Hawkins High. And he likes it that way. He wears every single one of those labels as a badge of honor. Shit, he even added a few himself, just to keep things interesting. So fucking what if they didn't like who he was around here? There's a whole world outside Hawkins, and he just has to graduate to see it. So why did his stupid heart decide that in addition to all his counterculture loves, Chrissy Cunningham makes the cut? And he doesn't mean that in a derisive way, because Chrissy Cunningham is sweet and kind and likes to tease him about his rings, her tiny slender fingers wrapped around his to twist them off, telling him, "Your hands are so big. Oh my gosh, Eddie," as she slips one over her thumb and makes Eddie's mouth go dry. Jesus Christ. Was there anything worse than the outcast falling for the cheer captain? Now, the frustration comes from the fact that he doesn't have a goddamn chance, even if he wasn't too much of a coward to say something. Because he knows if he did, Chrissy would let him down gently. She wouldn't wrinkle her nose or tell him to get lost or laugh at him. It would be so much worse than that. Because Chrissy would be kind in her rejection. And Eddie doesn't think he could handle that. It's so much easier to deal with people's hate than their kindness. It's why Chrissy throws him for so much of a loop. She always has. Even back when she'd been a tiny slip of a sixth grader, pigtails neatly braided and pom-poms clutched to her chest, biting her lip and staring down at her shoes when he'd pouted his way out of the cafeteria, calling out to him to tell him she liked his song, and she was sorry he got told it was too loud. Eighth grade Eddie hadn't had a goddamn chance against her earnest eyes, and senior Eddie certainly doesn't either. Chrissy Cunningham has his soft, soft heart in the palm of her neatly manicured hands. And Eddie will do anything to make sure she never knows it. It can't hurt if it never happens. He's always known it could never happen. And it's so much worse now. Now that he's seen her hammer kick a demon bat out of the air with the heel of her snow-white sneakers, seen her face splattered with sweat and ruined makeup like some sort of warrior goddess, mascara streaked down her cheeks with lake water, perky ponytail unkempt and lopsided as she shrieked obscenities no one even knew she'd known the meaning of. In that moment, Chrissy Cunningham had very clearly lived, and she was going to fight for it. There's the pop-snap breaking of a twig, and Eddie straightens up, realizing with dawning horror that he had, in fact, waited for her. God, he was so far gone he hadn't even noticed getting lost in his own lovesick thoughts. How pathetic was that? He'd throw himself off a cliff out of sheer humiliation if he could. But Chrissy lets out a relieved giggle at the sight of him, and Eddie refuses to think about how her shoulders relax. Like it would have ruined her day if he'd left. No. Absolutely not. He's projecting. Her cheer duffel is slung over her shoulder, tipping her so slightly with its weight, and he never knows exactly what she could possibly have in that bag that weighs so damn much. Her hair is damp from her post-practice shower, let down to curl around her shoulders, and leaving just a trace of strawberry shampoo in the wind. Her makeup from the day is still on, slightly smudged now at the corners. And Eddie thinks she's the prettiest thing he's ever seen. "You're here," she says, dumping her bag off her shoulder. She lets it fall to the ground carelessly as Eddie shifts on the bench, leaning back against the tabletop and letting the edge bite into his spine. And this is normal for them. It is. Chrissy shows up in that stolen time between the end of the day and her cheer duties. They shoot the shit, and Eddie goes home because Chrissy has better things to do after those 20 minutes than listen to him blather about his latest campaign or about his band or about whatever dumb shit spills out of his mouth next. He's okay with that. But they've never not had a time constraint before. She's always had to rush off, ponytail swinging behind her, and a quick wave tossed over her shoulder. But now, there is a whole lot of evening stretched out in front of them, without the need for Chrissy to leave, without the assurance that if he slips up and says something stupid, either of them can escape the conversation by running away. Eddie's kind of tired of running away. He swallows, his throat dry. Yeah, he croaks, and hates how he sounds. And yeah, the dynamic duo told me he'd stop by after instead. Chrissy hasn't moved closer to him, and it sets off alarm bells in his head. She isn't afraid of him now, is she? Well, it would serve him right. Getting cozy so fast with such a nice girl. She probably figured out she shouldn't sit hip to hip with the school drug dealer. She chews on her lip, her eyes somewhere near his boots. Eddie scuffs at the ground with them. I didn't think you'd stay, she says. And Eddie wants to punch himself for ever entertaining the thought of ditching her just because she couldn't make the normal meetup time. Chrissy's pretty summer skirt flutters around her legs in the soft breeze, pink pleated fabric snapping gently, longer than her cheer skirt, but no less intriguing to him as it draws his attention with the motion of it. It matches the bubblegum color of her lip gloss. Eddie wonders if it tastes like bubblegum, too, and has to shove that thought all the way down where he can't reach it again. She looks at him, head tilted, like she's making up her mind about something, assessing him the way she does sometimes. And fuck it. It is an open book for her, so he does his best not to wilt under her gaze. Those delicate fingers twist at the hem of her shirt. Eddie? He hates how unsure she sounds. And before he can respond, she's there. She's right there, right in front of him. But closer than that, Chrissy Cunningham is standing between his legs and backing him into their picnic table, making sure he can't run away. His hands automatically reach out for her, for her hips to steady her, but he stops himself because he's not that kind of guy. And much more than that, he isn't her boyfriend. And Eddie has no right to put his hands on Chrissy Cunningham's hips. To be fair, no one is her boyfriend right now. Chrissy clearly has no such compunctions about proprieties and nuances, because her own hands come to rest so lightly on his shoulders, her fingers gripping at the denim of his vest. He looks up at her, and he knows his eyes are wide with surprise and confusion. She's still chewing on her lip, but there's a fire in those eyes of hers. One that he knows reignited the second that she wrenched herself out of Vecna's hell world and collapsed against him, with racking, broken sobs, choking never again against his jacket. Chrissy studies him for a second, and with a jolt, Eddie realizes she's looking at his mouth. Her fingers sneak up the side of his neck, nails grazing his skin so whisper light he can feel goosebumps break out along his arms. Eddie, she says again, the question quiet and prodding. And this can't be real, but Eddie nods anyway. Chrissy presses into him softly, her gloss sticky lips like heaven against his own chapped mouth. And his hovering hands finally find a home pressed to the pink fabric of her skirt to hold her in place. She sighs into it, like something in her is at peace. And Eddie can feel his heart trying to break out of his ribs. He wonders if she can feel it too. She does taste like bubblegum. Eddie doesn't mean to chase her when she pulls away, but he can't help it, and Chrissy giggles at him, her forehead pressed to his briefly before she straightens up again. Her soft palms rasp against the stubble on his jaw. Hands moved sometime during their kiss. Eddie doesn't remember when, but he isn't complaining about how she cradles his face. Like he's something important she doesn't want to lose. Was that okay? She asks, like she hadn't just rocked his world with a simple kiss. I don't know, Eddie says, because his mouth works faster than his brain. You'd better try again so I can be sure. And Chrissy, beautiful, smart, badass Chrissy, snorts. Actually snorts, like he's made the world's cleverest joke, and she's unable to help how amused she is by it. Eddie grins up at her, and tips his head enough to press a kiss to her palm. He wonders if her heart is beating as fast as his. Chrissy looks at him fondly, and swipes her thumb along his bottom lip. Pink is a good color on you, she says, her voice light. He can hear the way it shakes. Brings out your eyes. Oh yeah? Should I be shopping for lip gloss then? I want to accentuate my best features, you know? And this banter is stupid and toothless and ridiculous. But Eddie would not trade where he is at this second. With Chrissy rolling her eyes at him and his palms on her hips, wrinkling that pink fabric and mussing up her perfect mask, and wanting the world to know that he did it and she wanted him to. Eddie is on cloud 9. "I really like you, Eddie," she says. And forget what he just said, Eddie is over the moon. He's half convinced he's still lying somewhere in that reverse version of Hawkins, bleeding out and delirious, and this is some very nice scenario his tortured brain has delivered to him so he can at least die happy. But he wants this to be real. And he makes a bargain then and there with whoever is listening that he'll do whatever he can to keep this girl in his life. He'll listen to Madonna with her. Fuck, he just found out yesterday she likes sticks. He can do sticks. He likes sticks. And usually he'd have to draw the line with Supertramp, but by God, if that's what it takes, he'll listen to Breakfast in America till the record breaks. He doesn't care. He just wants Chrissy to keep smiling at him like this forever. "You're incredible, Chrissy Cunningham," he says, and her grin splits even wider. "You just do things now, huh? Taking what you want with your new lease on life." Chrissy's pretty smile morphs into a smirk. And, oh, that's a look he definitely wants to see more often. Her hands leave his jaw, and his face feels cold without her as she tugs at the lapels of his vest. "Yes," she says emphatically, and Eddie's heart stutters in his chest. "I am." Because one of the things she wants is him. How the fuck is this his life? "Good thing I really like you too, then," he says, just shy of teasing, too true to have any bit of bite to it. "Otherwise, this would be really forward of you. I'm not that kind of girl, you know." Chrissy ducks down to catch his mouth again, and Eddie is 80% certain it's to make him stop talking. He laughs against her lips, bubblegum on his tongue. Her hand leaves his vest, fumbling for his own at her hip, and Eddie takes it off her like it burns, afraid that she's decided she doesn't want him to touch her like that. But no, that's not what she wants, apparently. She breaks their kiss again and tugs his hand up between them to inspect his fingers. Eddie gives her a baffled look, but Chrissy is undeterred. Making her decision, she pulls off one of his rings, a chunky silver one he bought at a pawn shop who knew how long ago. Her soft fingers on his calloused hand nearly undo him as she takes it carefully off his finger, working it over his knuckles like he could be delicate, and she doesn't want to hurt him. Eddie swallows. He watches as she reaches up to unclasp her necklace with both hands. She threads the chain through his ring and hooks it back around her neck, letting his ring sit at the hollow of her throat. "Where everyone can see." He reaches up reverently to touch it, where it clinks against her class of 86 pendant, and watches the blush spread from her nose down to her collarbone. "You don't have a class ring," she says softly. "Be the wrong year, anyway," he says with a grin. "This your way of telling me we're going steady, Cunningham?" Chrissy fiddles with her new ring, her fingers brushing his. "Duh, Eddie. I've been flirting with you for weeks," she says, sounding a little exasperated. "Do you want my letter sweater to make it official both ways? I don't think it'll fit you." "You stabbed me a few times in the morning with that lip gloss of yours. I think people will get the hint, he says, mouth curling at the edges. Chrissy squeaks, somewhere between embarrassed and pleased. He slides his arms around her waist and tests her boundaries gently, questioningly, by resting against her in a hug he doesn't want to admit he needs. Chrissy doesn't push him away. In fact, her hands come up around him to hold him there, one scratching lightly at his shoulders and the other combing through the very ends of his hair, untangling knots that can't help but form throughout the day. I'm awake, right? He asks, and he can feel Chrissy's laugh bounce through her body. Chrissy fucking Cunningham just kissed me and took my ring and declared herself my girlfriend, and you're laughing? He says, thick mock outrage in his voice as her giggling gets worse. I could be in a coma. You should take my concern seriously. You're awake and alive, Chrissy says. And Eddie's heart gives a racking shudder because he can hear the part she's not saying. And so am I. The end. Ah, this nuts. Welp, here we are again. I borrowed my mama's taste in music for Chrissy because my mom was a cheerleader in 86, right down to the necklace. She says she bought hers at Claire's. Lol. Other highlights of mom's high school record collection include Queen's News of the World, ZZ Top's Afterburner, and of course, Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic. And I have ripped off my title from Supertramp's The Logical Song off the Breakfast in America album. Sorry, Eddie. It's a good album. I'm still under lockdown from contracting the plague, so this is how I'm coping. Not well, clearly. If there's a typo, no there isn't. Comment if you liked it, and if you didn't like it, well then fine, I'll stop.